your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with Peter Buchvar. Peter, let's get into some of the market moves that we saw at the tail end of last year and now looking forward into 2019. They have been extraordinarily volatile, especially when you consider what they were like over the last couple years. But even through this 8 to 10 year bull market run, the S&P down about 20% from its peak just 3 months ago to where it bottomed just about 2.5 to 3 weeks ago. This obviously has all the central banks worried and the Fed worried and all kinds of investors worried, because the game just isn't as easy anymore for those big money managers. What do you think about the overall health of the U.S. equity markets as we stand right now?
Well, it's clear that the predominant, I believe, driver of this asset price inflation we've seen has been, like I said, easy money and QE. And now that we've seen a reversal of that, markets are obviously adjusting. And the adjustment is, at least right now, mostly on the PE multiple level. You know, one of the most difficult things in investing is, it's hard enough to figure out, okay, what are earnings going to be in the next couple of years and forecasting that. But what's the right multiple to put on that earning stream? And it's very easy to have an inflating PE or price to sales ratio or EV to EBITDA ratio when, you know, rates are at zero and you got all this liquidity out there. But when that starts to reverse, well, then how do you adjust your multiples? And so now we're getting an adjustment downward in multiples at the same time that growth is slowing and earnings are certainly going to be impacted. I mean, 40% of S&P revenues are sourced overseas. Well, if overseas growth is slowing, what do you think is going to happen to 40% of that revenue line in the U.S.? It's going to get impacted. So you have potential, and profit margins, I believe, also have peaked. So you're going to have a moderation in earnings growth. At the same time, you're going to have a shrinkage of the P multiple. And that creates a challenging investment environment.
So, Peter, one thing we have also seen is more money moving into some safe haven assets. The U.S. dollar has been pulling back, but still remains fairly elevated or in the higher part of its trading range. But treasuries, too, have gotten a lot of a buy, and that can be surprising to some people when you consider that the Fed and other central banks have more or less stepped out of the treasury market. Do you see yields at least hitting a top last year and potentially being unable to make it back to some of those levels we saw in the later part of last year?
I think a lot will, looking out big picture in the next couple of years, I think a lot will depend on what happens to these European bond yields. Do they stay at these pressed, suppressed levels? The German 10-year, which is a 22 basis points, that all of a sudden it goes to 1.5, and actually normalizes at some point because the ECB tries to get out of negative interest rates. Well, I find it harder to believe that the U.S. 10-year is going to be 270. I expect it to be much higher. So while right now yields are falling because there's worries about growth, certainly legitimately, and the yield curve is flattening everywhere throughout different parts of it, I think over the next couple of years where rates go, I think, again, a lot will depend on where European bond yields go, because yields are still ridiculously low. You still have about $8 trillion of negative yielding securities. And the direction of that, again, will be the main determinant. But yeah, right now, the flattening, the declining yields, all responding to worries about global growth.
And so you mentioned this one concept a couple times throughout this call, and that is debt, both in the U.S. and globally. If interest rates move up, obviously that debt is harder to service, but at the same time, these central banks are hoping to get some sort of inflation, right around 2%, which would help to obviously service this debt. How much of a concern do you see the growing U.S. debt, especially last year, already hit $1 trillion, and that deficit seems to only be picking up steam, and this is during a so-called expansionary period?
Well, it's going to also, that all that supply is actually going to help yields stay elevated. I mean, with all the worries about growth and the worst stock market that we've seen in years in 2018, 10-year yield is still up 30 basis points from where it was beginning a year ago. So yields are still higher across the board, even with all these challenges, which tells me that there are legitimate worries about U.S. debts and deficits impacting the U.S. Treasury market in terms of all this supply. issue and worry that I have is on the corporate balance sheet side, where corporate debt, or I should say total business debt as a percent of GDP, has never been this high outside of the first quarter of 2009 when GDP was depressed, which also leads me to believe that a lot of the big part of the 2019 story with respect to companies will be deleveraging and focusing much less on stock buybacks and capital investment.
Okay. Hey, that would be interesting to see, because still corporations have been buying back a lot of their stock. What about the precious metals too? We sometimes talk about the precious metals, but in all fairness, the last couple of years and throughout that bull market in U.S. equities, the precious metals have been under pressure. There's a lot of optimism, I know, at least from the metals community, in terms of what 2019 might bring. But one thing we need to consider is that the metals usually do get a bounce early on in the year, and then it's all about the follow through, if there is any. How do you think the setup is for the precious metals as we move into 2019?
Well, the setup is now more interesting than we've seen in years, because the Fed's probably done raising interest rates. You know, that was the bear case on the metals for the last couple of years, is the Fed's tightening. Why would you want to own it? Even though you really got to look at real rates rather than nominal rates. And real rates now are falling pretty sharply, and the dollar's down sharply here. So on this now new dovishness with the Fed, the dollar index is basically back to where it was in mid-October. And if you extend, you know, viewpoint and chart even further, you know, the dollar index is below where it was when the first Fed rate hike came in December 2015. What does that say about the dollar? Look at Europe. Look at the mess that Draghi's created with all these negative interest rates, the dramatic slowing we're seeing in the European economy, and the damage done to their banking system, and the euro is still hanging in at about 115. You know, you'd think that the euro would be much lower in the face of those facts, but it's not. And that tells me that the dollar has big picture, broader challenges that people should take note of. And I think that, again, with fundraising interest rates, even though they're still shrinking their balance sheet, well, that's going to be, in my opinion, very good for gold and silver, and pretty negative for the dollar, because the dollar's already having enough external challenges to begin with.
All right, Peter, just summarize what your themes are going to be as we are in 2019 now, what you're going to be watching most closely, and where you think investors will see at least some positive returns.
Well, we know we want to see how this trade discussion leads with China. Hopefully that will get addressed and resolved in some fashion over the next month or two before the March 1st deadline. And we know what the Fed has done and what they're likely to do from here. The question then is, put that on a micro level, and what does this all mean for corporate profits? What does this mean for the direction of that, since we know that is going to be a main driver of the stock market this year? And that's why it's fortunate that we're going to have another 6 weeks ahead of us to listen to corporate America and see what they have to say. And if the stock market reaction that we've seen so far to earnings news is any indication, it's going to be a complete minefield. All you have to do is look at what's happened to the retailers, what's happened to Delta and American Airlines, what happened to FedEx and Apple. You know, on the other hand, we're going to get some Nikes, which reported a good number. General Motors reported pre-announced a good number. So we're going to see some good and bad. But the violent reactions tell me that it's going to be a minefield. Now, investing through that, I do think that there are plenty of opportunities in overseas markets and even China. China's gotten cheap, even though I acknowledge all the short-term issues that they have. But I think there are plenty of cheap stocks in emerging markets. I've been bullish on gold and silver, as you know. And you know what? If the markets have a difficult time in the U.S., well, bear markets and declines in stock prices are actually good times to be buying stocks. I'd rather be doing that than buying them when they're in a straight line higher. So find companies you like. And because I think the market's going to present some gifts in terms of valuations.
All right. There you have it from Peter Bukvar, CIO of Bleakley Advisory Group, editor of The Book Report, and CNBC contributor. Peter, it's great having you on the show. Thank you again for your time this weekend, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, Visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.